They know we're a sucker for that. I'm recording. Hey, yeah. Listener, if you're hearing this, this is a thing that we're doing. My friends and I are together and we're talking about things that we enjoy. Yeah. Hi, yeah. Friends.
So I saw Dune twice, actually, and it was really good. Paul Atreides, second best twink antichrist. Go watch it.
I love Denis Villeneuve's vision. Like, I feel like he is, I mean, he was just such the perfect choice to tell this story. I feel like he just, like, his visual language is perfectly well suited to making these perfectly framed, poetic, dreamlike landscapes that, like, you would think that just miles and miles and miles of sand would be boring, but he makes it so beautiful.
Yeah, Dune 2, sorry, muffled. It was such a beautiful movie.
Yeah, it was gorgeous.
It's gorgeous to look at.
Yeah. And he's also really good at packing a lot of information into one moment, one shot. Like, I feel like, because, you know, the books are so full of lore and backstory and world building, you know, it's like, I mean, it's like learning a whole other language when you enter that story. And Villeneuve understands storytelling so well. It's sort of like how, you know, how poetry is just like prose, but distilled into like its most potent essence. I feel like that is what Denis Villeneuve does with filmmaking. It's like this really potent visual language, and it's just so good. Like, he's able to tell you so much about the characters, the setting, the cultures that you're dealing with. He's able to tell you so much just by making a handful of visual choices and choosing like what he's going to portray, like what he's going to actually like show you on screen. And as you watch the films, you kind of slip into his way of seeing things. Like, he's really good at sort of forcing you to look through his eyes and understanding like what he's trying to convey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just feel like it was such a good choice, because honestly, like, it could have been such a mess, you know, because it's a lot of information to convey,
yeah.
You know, especially recently, I feel like a lot of media, when it tries to do like massive elaborate world building, it gets messy and confusing, and you know, people just want to throw everything in but the kitchen sink, or they try to explain too much. Like, they try to make too much overt and sort of beat that audience over the head with what's happening.
Right.
Rather than just like trying to let us draw our own conclusions from what we're saying, from what we're seeing on screen. Because, mm-hmm. you know, and I mean, like, I mean, one of the great predecessors, I think, of creating a huge world with its own unique, you know, with a very unique point of view and a very unique culture that is portrayed in only one film, is Blade Runner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think it would be great if we could get back to that kind of storytelling and letting people who are capable of telling stories that way work their craft, you know, and give them money to make their projects instead of continuing to throw money at superhero movies.
Clock it.
Oh, goodness.
I'm tired of your movies. Unless it's the sequel to The Batman, then I will take another superhero movie. Because The Batman was really good.
I don't think they're going to be able to do it again. I want them to. I think he's an interesting Batman. Like, it got my attention, and I like the way they portrayed Catwoman in this. And I'm a DC fan from way back, so I could talk about this for hours. There was a lot of things I really liked in that movie, but I feel like it's kind of lightning in a bottle. And I feel like if they did it again, Warner Brothers is going to do the same thing they do with all the rest of them. And they're going to squeeze it to death and throw in 14 more villains and, you know, do this and do that. And that's when it becomes Batman and Robin, and it's not even funny anymore. It's not even cute.
Yeah.
Speaking of DC, we got Patty back.
Yeah, we did.
Patty, let me talk to you, Patty. I'm so excited for Patty. So for me, that's a win. She's coming to my favorite franchise.
Patty Jenkins?
Yes, ma'am. That's the one.
What's she directing? What's she directing?
Rogue Squadron is back, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It lives again.
Oh, maybe we're going to get another Rollerblade movie. Another Rollerblade trailer. Teaser, whatever that was.
Oh, Star Wars. I was confused. I was like, Rogue Squadron, and what comic book series is that?
It's not.
Yeah.
I shoehorned it in. I hope Barbie gets a sequel. That's who needs a sequel.
But what would they even put in the Barbie sequel?
Whatever the hell they want.
Skipper.
Ooh, come on, Skipper.
Chelsea.
That would be fun.
Well, it would have to be about a different Barbie.
That too. We could do that. Sure.
It would be cool to see like a day in the life of President Barbie.
I would watch that. Yes. They're printing money. Like, Ryan Gosling killed it at the awards show. Like, he really did that.
Oh my gosh.
Somewhere just Timberlake's in a closet crying, hoping that man don't go on tour.
He belongs there. Let him stay there.
And he deserves to be exactly where he's at. He's sweating somewhere, like, oh God.
Yeah, well, it's fine. I'm mad at him.
Ryan Gosling's really him. He's really him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's the real deal. Yeah, I've never really... Have we heard anything problematic about Ryan Gosling? I haven't.
No, ma'am. Not to my knowledge.
He seems like a good dude.
Mm-hmm. He's Canadian.
Okay. Well, so is Simu. He was looking good too. I saw that. In 4K, I was all over it. Damn. He looked good.
Do you guys want to talk about the trailer?
I don't know. That's up to y'all. I don't want to be the person to push people to do stuff. I can go either way on it. If y'all have reservations, let's not.
We'll leave it to you.
I'm of two minds. Like, we could preface it by saying, like, obviously, like, if you feel the need to boycott Disney because of what's going on right now, feel free to boycott. We're not saying that we're going to watch, like, something like that, but the trailer did look interesting. Because I want to watch, but I'm not sure if I feel particularly comfortable.
When does it come out?
June 4th.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a two-episode premiere event.
I'm pretty torn as well because, like, obviously, with the boycott's important. And, like, my family is participating in boycotting a lot of the current Targets. But on the other hand, the other thing is, like, this just seems like really unfortunate timing, because this is like a woman-led project, yes, a queer-led yeah project. And
mm-hmm so many women of color.
It's like, yeah. It and sucks. It's like, yeah. And it's like, you know, like, who are we punishing? You know what I mean?
And you know what they're going to say. Look, 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 female stuff don't work.
Exactly. This is what that's I'm saying.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Barbie was the number one movie last year.
Yeah.
Like, period.
Yeah.
I don't care about award shows. I don't care what a bunch of old people in a room think about movies.
Yeah.
If I did, I wouldn't be on a podcast talking about a movie franchise. You know what I mean? Like, period. Like, yeah, it was the greatest movie of 2023 because it had something to say.
Yep.
I didn't even see the other one.
Me neither.
The boy film. I didn't even watch it. Well, since we want to go there and we want to tell jokes about the Bro-enheimer, yeah. I didn't see it. I don't know it. I don't know him.
I haven't seen it either. It just seemed like I feel like I needed to be sitting in my house to see Oppenheimer.
Mm. Yeah, it's like 4.5 hours long.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a white man to take up all your time and be inconsiderate. I'm good.
But also, it's like, I feel like I don't have anything new to learn from this film. I think that there are people who might. It's just like, what is it? Like, it's not like, I don't know. It's just, you know, the whole, like, as if I haven't already spent many hours of my life contemplating the cruelty of humanity and the you know, and the
I know that's right.
The conflict of, you know, it's like, because we can, does that mean we should? And, you know, and what are the stakes? And you know, and what does it mean when only one person or a small handful of people have the power to make choices that will change humanity forever? Those are interesting questions to think about, but where they intersect with like real world suffering, it's hard, because for me, like, focusing on the suffering is always going to take precedence, right? So it's like, I would be a lot more interested in hearing perspectives of the people whose lives were changed, you know, by the bombing.
Oh, that's right.
You know, then some guy who was emotionally, psychologically tortured over the fact that he had knowledge and skill that was going to cause an incredible amount of destruction, even if it was ostensibly for a just cause. But yeah, like, that's just such a, it's such a painful story.
Right.
It's such a sad story. And I feel like I can know enough about it by just reading about it on Wikipedia and like thinking my own thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't need to go and sit and, you know, watch a guy, a white guy in a hat for 3.5 hours.
I know that's right. Is. I know that's right. I'm sorry. I find it very hard to identify with the white male, and I don't care, because they don't care about me and they don't care about identifying with my culture and my people, whether those people are queer, whether those people are Black, whether those people are Latinx. You know, we give way too much of a platform to people sometimes. I'm just going to say that. Well, you know, how was your St. Patty's? How was your St. Patty's? Like, I'm Black. I'm Black. That's the answer. That's the real answer. Like, they celebrate that stuff. I'm like, did you ever stop to think about Maybe everybody doesn't do that. Maybe some people don't even have the expendable resources to go throw $100 at a bar for a made-up holiday.
All holidays are made up.
That's true. You got me there. Facts.
Yeah, well, you know what you should do? You need to go into your phone and make a reminder of who is saying this foolishness and put it in your calendar that you're going to go and ask them how their Juneteenth was.
Right. That's what I... Well, how was your Black History Month?
We just had it.
just wrapped up. Did you enjoy it? How you feel about Cowboy Carter? Are you excited? What?
Exactly. Okay, but who isn't, though? I mean, anyone with a pulse should be excited for that.
Right? I know that's right. That visual came out today. I'm like, bitch, I know that's right. With the flag, too. Like, we're Americans, too. Stop playing. Stop playing like we don't belong here.
I remember when I was in high school and I was talking to one of those insufferable teenage boys that I had to, you know, have classes with. And he was wearing like a Jimi Hendrix t-shirt or something. And I was talking about about Jimmy's rendition of the Star Spangled Banner. And the guy started talking over me and being like, well, that's not even his best work. That's not his best work. And I was just thinking, like, did you completely miss the point of like who that song belonged to? And the fact that he was like, that was an act of rebellion and reclamation of like, you know, like this like dirty, you know, whatever, you know, playing a bombastic rendition of this song at Woodstock, like surrounded by people who were resisting, you know, like early resistors of colonialism, you know, in a way, like, I mean, like in the white world, you know, it's like a bunch of white hippies who are like anti-establishment,
right?
You know, and so he knew that this was something that they needed to hear. So it was like an act of performance art. It's not the point of like how, whatever, like musically, how important it is to his catalog.
Right. It was bigger than that.
But it's like, I couldn't even explain myself because I could tell he wasn't going to listen. Yeah, I think that's probably one of my first experiences of that, of like, you know, as a young person having opinions in the world. Mm-hmm. Which is probably why it sticks out in my memory.
That's dope. I'm going to go see Ghostbusters on Friday.
Hopefully that'll be good. Are they good?
I saw the one before this with Paul Rudd. It was okay. I mean, it's Ghostbusters. The bar is incredibly low. I don't expect much.
I saw the original Ghostbusters for like the first time. Mm-hmm. And it's like some like weird ass sex comedy with like in it.
Yeah. That's right.
Yep.
That's right. That sounds right.
Yeah.
You saw the right film. Does Ghostbusters I bet she was like, am I watching the right film? Yeah, is there another Ghostbusters? Like, no.
Why do people love this so much?
Camp,
it's just like a bunch of horny, 80s. Creepy men.
Yeah.
Nostalgia.
And sometimes there are ghosts.
Yeah, sometimes. I'll tell you what, though. The Ghostbusters that I love is the female Ghostbusters movie. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And argue with me about it. Please. Like, fuck off.
People didn't dislike the actual movie. They disliked the concept of the movie.
Yeah. It was good. It was good. Chris Hemsworth, he did his thing. He did his thizzle. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. That's it. No more, no less. He did that. I thought that was cool. But yeah, I'll go and see the new one. But, you know, I'm not a Ghostbusters aficionado. And, you know, all they really have to do at this point is be entertaining. It's too late in the game for them to, like, add to the lore or expand on character. You know what I mean? Like, half of them are dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like, it feels like something that should have happened 20, 30 years ago, but it didn't. So they're just doing the best they can with what they got. And that's okay. Like, I'm not super invested in the story to where I'm going to die on that hill.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Just like if there was another Back to the Future, like, I would go see it because it was part of my childhood. Mm-hmm. But I'm not pressed, right?
Mm-hmm.
I love the fact that they just casted the first ever Black Marty on stage because it's a Broadway show now.
Cool. I love that.
Fuck yeah. Marty can be black. Absolutely. Like, I would love to see that show when it comes here. It won't be here for another 25 years, but when it comes, I'll go.
Is Bill Murray in this one? Oh.
Yeah, he gonna get a check.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't know how. I still don't know how him and Khalees managed to hook up and stay together for like a year, and nobody knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but didn't that wasn't
Barry that much?
Didn't she talk recently about how she got out of like a really bad relationship that like was very wounding and emotionally?
Yeah,
and it wasn't about her husband either. So,
well, maybe she was talking about him. I don't know how they got together at all.
It wouldn't surprise. Well, I mean, you know, she's hot, and he probably likes hot women.
It was her toxic, marriage to Nas that was already talked about, but she did talk recently about one, but it wasn't the second husband. It wasn't. It was somebody that she was dating.
Sorry. Okay, mm-hmm. So it was probably him.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bill Murray has had some allegations against him for not being a particularly nice man.
Oh, he's known as
he's a
very known as a very bad man. Like even Adam Driver, who's usually very like and like very like respectful in the way that he talks about other actors, like he will say bad things about Bill Murray. Mm-hmm. And you practically have to be like an axe murderer to make
you gotta call a spade a spade.
Also, there's actually, this is my own little conspiracy theory, but so when Adam Driver did the Squarespace Super Bowl commercial, where there's like all these different versions of him, like there's all these clones, one of the, like, he sort of acted them all in different ways as if they all have different personalities. And so one of them is like a total a-hole. And I'm convinced that he completely modeled all of that behavior after Bill Murray. Like, and if you watch it with that in mind, like, you can totally see it. I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
That's funny.
Speaking of conspiracies.
Okay.
Where's Kate Middleton?
Don't care. Don't care. In other news. Completely unbothered. Doesn't matter.
Well, the thing is, like, a lot of people are saying that it was like a cosmetic procedure or something that went wrong, but like, I don't know. I was listening to a discussion about it on a podcast where they were sort of breaking down like the timeline of events. And I was thinking like, well, but what if something really bad happened? Like, what if she was pregnant and it was a really bad outcome and she needs to like
rest? I thought of that because I thought the timeline between the last child to this one here, I think this third pregnancy probably took more out of her than what she was expecting. And it could just very well that she probably had a hysterectomy or something.
That's true.
I didn't know she was pregnant.
Yeah, this third one, I'm telling you, the only reason why this girl gets pregnant is because of all the ridiculousness that William puts her through. Okay? These pregnancies that she has been having, the first one, yes, was definitely for the air. But these last two is because he keeps cheating on her. And she keeps
cheating. So you believe the cheating allegations?
Yeah, because this cheating has been going on since they were in college, since they were together. The only reason why he kept her and kept going back to her, because she's the only one that's going to tolerate that.
Yeah. Well, and she was from a good family, and he knew that his family would approve if she married him. Yeah, she was an excellent candidate. I mean, she was like the perfect candidate for him to marry. Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, should she have gotten pregnant for this third one? No. Because I think that pregnancy, they didn't really talk about this pregnancy that much. And I think she had quite a few complications, especially at her age. She's in her mid-40s. So
Really? Is she already?
Yeah, I think she is. Oh, my getting, God. Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
So, that is the case, then I'm going to say something happened, and she probably had to deal with a hysterectomy at best, and had to sit there, and recover. She ain't wearing the wedding ring. She ain't wearing it.
I mean, I feel like with when she's this close to the finish line, she's not gonna leave.
Allegedly. Mm-hmm. Let me just say that. Allegedly. We don't need no problem.
It's sued by the royal family.
Be quiet.
Yeah, but when she's this close to being the Queen of England, I don't think she's gonna be leaving him anytime soon.
That's true.
Yeah, no, she's not leaving. Like, this is it. This is it. She ain't going nowhere. She might as well make the best of it. But it's just he's just like his father. So he's no different.
And the other thing is that when Diana left Charles. Mm-hmm. The position of the children in the line of succession was used as it was used in order to get her to agree to certain things. So I wonder if Kate feels like if she were to leave, if they would try and change the line of succession to cut her children out.
And who make Harry's kids the king? They'd never do.
Because then the next ones that are in line is Fergie's kids.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be Fergie's kids next, yeah.
They're not doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're not doing that because, there's already too many things going on.
And they're all girls anyway. I mean, it's like it's Kate and William are the ones with the boys who, yeah. And I mean, they did change the constitution so that Charlotte has a place. Like, Charlotte is actually in, like, they changed it, I think, so that it's birth order. So that rather than, because it's like, so, William's, so it's William's kids are their hereditary heirs to the throne because it's, mm-hmm. it goes like, yeah. And then, like, William's kids are basically not in the line of succession. I mean, they are, but they're, like, far, far down. Even though William is also the son of the king, it's like, oh, no, sorry, Harry's kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's Harry's kids are, like, further down in the line of succession than you would think. Because it goes, like, father, son, 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 son. But so, like, if a father has more than one son, it's like the first son is the one that gets dibs, and then all of his issue get dibs. So Charlotte, even though she's a girl, because she's issue of William, she gets second place after George. So it goes George, Charlotte, Louis. Whereas before in the Constitution, it would have been George, Louis, Charlotte because she's a girl. But they changed the rule when she was born and there was like a big deal about it.
I have a feeling it's gonna end up being Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. What, Charlotte on the throne, just like Queen Elizabeth I?
Yeah, I'm gonna be keeping a buck. Like at this point, somebody's not gonna take the throne. One of his kids ain't gonna take it. They not. It's gonna be the same exact situation as to how Queen Elizabeth had got onto the throne. because it was her father, her uncle was the one who totally disregarded. That was the most funniest episode on the crowd. I promise you, this man said, "Yeah, no, bye, no, I don't care what you do, I'm gone. Like, you're not fitting to put me on no throne. You can have it." And then clearly, he been grooming Elizabeth since she was a child.
Yeah,
Charlotte looks like the younger version of Elizabeth. So I would not, I could see that happening, but I don't know. One of those kids ain't going to do it, though. I really don't think so. It's three of them. Let's take one of them out. Yeah. George don't look like he wants it. So, for the most part, he might just skip it. Might skip it. And it doesn't.
Hey, maybe the monarchy will be abolished. Finally.
That's what I was gonna say. Is it's fun. One thing about this is like you're gonna be the Game of Thrones of jack shit, you know. So it's like, heir to what exactly? This thing's on fire, and it's literal trash. So I don't know. But one thing about them tables, they do be turning. They do be turning. Amen. So there's that.
Yeah, so was everybody like bothered that Oppenheimer got all of those awards?
Yeah.
No, not really. I do wish that Lily Gladstone won, even though I didn't see Poor Things, and I do like Emma Stone a lot as an actress, but Lily Gladstone was amazing in Killers of the Flower Moon. Like, amazing.
Yeah, I was willing to watch the 3 hours for that. So clearly they made that movie especially to highlight her, and they did a good job with that, because Martin Scorsese, for some reason, loves the fact that now he can run over 3.5 hours of our life with nothingness. Case in point, the last movie that I had to sit there and watch with Robert De Niro. So I was happy to sit there and watch, you know, them tell the story of the, you know, Osage Indians. But I really felt like the American Fiction should have won some of that. And considering the case in point of what Oppenheimer was about, think it should have went to Jeffrey Wright for all of the many things and his accolades all throughout the years, and what American Fiction stood for. I just, you know, it shouldn't have just went to adapted screenplay writer. It should have went to for him for putting this, you know, like really giving a stellar performance. But yeah, I don't know how I feel about that movie getting all of the awards, considering what that movie was about. Mm-hmm. And I'm not watching it, but I know what that movie is about.
Right.
I'm just not watching it. You couldn't have me invested that much time into that movie. Mm-mm. So it just goes to show you, like, a lot of these, you know, the award shows, just they're biased when it comes to these things, you know. Wanting to give these awards to certain people, especially Black people. So now they was upset because ain't nobody did a slave movie where they could have given an award to. But we gonna go ahead and give it to Oppenheimer. All right. Barbie should have won some, you know.
I know that's right.
I really felt like that. I never watched it, but Barbie is such a major staple in our history. It changed the way as a lot of us women viewed feminism, you know, viewed our rights, you know.
And Greta ate that. Like, she wrote that. And, I mean, it was incredible. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and wasn't she up for Best Director?
Oh, yeah. I'm really kind of pissed about the coverage of Barbie at the Oscars too, because like Yes, Ryan Gosling, he sang the house down boots, but we're missing
Spider-Man.
The attention on Barbie, right? A lot of people covered that as Ryan Gosling wins the Oscars without winning an Oscar, like, but it was for Barbie. Billie Eilish won for her song for Barbie, which was good. Mm-hmm. But I just think that that movie said so much. And again, like, people went out in droves to see it. It's coming here. I'm going to take Ahsoka and we're going to go see it in concert.
That's amazing.
Hell, they even got a theme park on the way.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like, it's a big deal. And I don't think people have yet seen its full potential. We'll have to wait another 20 years, just like we did for the prequels, to really see the impact of this incredible film that people continue to ignore because they simply can't get their arms around it. I'll tell you what, Harrison Ford looked like my hero out there when that man started talking about Barbie. Like, you could tell that old man wanted to get up and say something. He was like, I could just hear the ghost of Carrie Fisher in his ear.
It's true.
You know what I mean? And you the camera cut to him, and you could see it on his face. He's like, that dirty little prick. Like, you know, he was ready to give that man the business. He's like, hold on. Hold on. Like, I got daughters. I got granddaughters. What are you saying? Like,
yeah.
And it's just really sad. Like, I feel like we are doing a complete 180 and going back 25 years in time. Because people are so threatened by the progress. Like, they're really shook.
This is completely backlash. It's total backlash. That's what this is.
They're really scared. They're really fearful about what will happen next when women are really claiming agency over their bodies, over their lives, deciding what they want to do with their own futures. And for them, it's very scary.
Well, and demanding more from men, too.
Okay.
You know, like, we're reaching this, like, cultural moment where...
Oh, it is.
Women are asking men to be, to, like, step up and to
do
be
more,
like,
and be more better.
Equal partners, be better. I mean, you know, people are making TikToks about this, like, left, right, and center. Like, you know, there's all kinds of video essays on YouTube about, like, are the straights okay?
Right.
Which doesn't seem like they are.
Trad husband. You know, all the time I see it now. And it's like, I'm so happy for young women today. Continue to ask for more. Continue to demand excellence.
Don't
because
settle.
They've demanded it from us for years.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, the thing is, like, this is so vital because it affects your quality of life. Like, like, so many parenting groups on Facebook and stuff where women are call themselves, like, what is it, like, married single mothers?
Yeah.
And it's like, how can you build a happy, fulfilling life when you have entered into an agreement with another adult human being to share a home, to share a life, and one of them just sits around on their ass and plays Call of Duty all day? Like, what?
Right.
Like, and it's like, I don't know. Maybe it's because, like, I'm partnered with a woman and I'm really smug about it. But, but it's like, I don't understand. How this is, like, tolerable. Like, for me, this would be, like, mental anguish. Like, if I was trying to have an intimate, authentic relationship with someone that I saw as my equal, and then one day they turned around and started treating me like their housekeeper, unpaid housekeeper. Like, that is such a huge betrayal. And, like, what kind of person does that? Like, that makes you look psychotic. Like, it makes you look like there's something fundamentally wrong with you. Like, why don't you want to be egalitarian? Why don't you want to be like open, honest, authentic? You know, like I've talked about this before. It's like, you know, having the courage to have self-knowledge and examine yourself and be accountable and have integrity. Like the rewards, the internal rewards of living your life that way are enormous. Yeah. Enormous. And it's like, yeah, like the peace, the happiness, you know, the
fulfillment.
Yes, exactly.
Because you're doing it the right way.
Self-respect. It's like, don't you want those things? Like, why is there this gigantic swath of the population that is happy to just live this tiny, selfish little life and just like scratch their own balls? Like,
it's the easier, softer way. It really is. It's just that simple. It's
but easier, it's so cheap and way. Sad and it hollow. Is.
But men are that.
I don't want to believe that. Box
from Taco Bell. That's it. They are that. Yes, ma'am.
Is he?
This is a Wendy's. Yes.
Yeah. No. I've actually felt that way the first few years until we got into a place, because we always been able to work together, always.
Oh, okay.
And then,
what's that like?
You know, you just do what you have to do. Mm. You know, we ain't got nobody, so we have to rely on each other. So when it came time for me to even be a stay-at-home mom, it felt like I was a single mom for years.
I know that's right.
Okay. And nobody don't know the ins and outs of what my child does except for me. I know from sun up to sundown. As you can see, he ain't in here because he's sleeping and he got to go to work. But who got to put her down? I do. So when she go down, I go down. When she gets up, I get up. Okay? When we go to the doctor's, you shouldn't be asking him anything. You need to ask me, because I'm the one that know. We had to talk about that. I was like, why is she asking you? You don't know anything. You get what I'm saying? Oh, so yeah. When it feels like you're a single parent in the home, and it could get old real fast. But at some point, yeah, we almost pulled the plug in the first year of her being born. But you know, after that, we decided to do the counseling, and we did, and because we had to figure it out, we got to figure it out. What I don't like with a lot of married couples or just couples in general is that it shouldn't be so easy to quit. And it shouldn't be so easy to be complacent. So if you want to stay in the marriage, you got to work. You got to work. You definitely have to put in the work.
That was it.
So you work to get the ring, you better work to keep on with that ring with no complaints. Yeah. So after probably like a little bit after close to when she became two was when things started getting a little bit better. And then we just started working together where, you know, again, I appreciate all of his work of doing two jobs and providing us the income for us to do what we need to do. But when he come home, I'm tired. I'm mentally drained. I done did everything up under the sun, above and beyond. And now I got to sit up here and take care of you. I know. So dealing with that, I'm like, you have to deal with her at some point. You have to play. You got to do all of that. So he, you know, picks up the slack. He cooks sometimes. And he also helped me, you know, clean whenever he has his days off. And that's that.
What's that like?
So, you know.
Tell me about that.
Listen.
I want to be one of the cleaning Negroes.
Listen, I take what I can get. And I'm very happy for the little, you know, the little things. Because it just makes a whole big difference. And especially for me to be able to do, you know, my channel, my podcast and stuff, at least I'm able to do that. And I appreciate that. So things have definitely, you know, changed to where now it's become we're a team and don't feel like I'm just by myself. I think when I had the gallbladder removal and the oral surgery all happening at the same time, I think he was starting to understand, like, okay, no, I really need to change the way that I do things, because he had to pick up the slack with her. You know what I mean? Wow. You get what I'm saying? Because I'm in the ER about to go in for surgery. Like, this is an emergency gallbladder removal. So I told him, I said, call mom. Okay, we'll sit back. I told him to call my mom, tell her to come, you know, come on out, so that way she can help you with, you know, with her and everything. And she did. Caught the red eye, came on out, you know. I love it, you know, because she's retired. His mom isn't retired, you know what I mean? So because of that, I'm happy and able that my mom has the free time, you know, and just in case if I ever need her for something, she's always there, you know, to do it. So, but yeah, other than that, ever since then, you know, it's been a team. But that single, you know, being a single mom in a marriage, that really messes with you mentally.
It messes with you. Yeah, it does.
Like, it's not a fun thing to actually go through. And yeah, thankfully, he's not that type of person to be sitting there, you know, twiddling his thumbs and everything. He works. But also, he needs to understand that he can turn it off. I can't.
Right.
Mine's just 24 hours. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's why I lost so much sleep. Like, we had to deal with so much of her.
You better say that.
I'm dealing with her every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nobody wouldn't have known about her breathing if it wasn't for me. You get what I'm saying? She right. wouldn't have had that surgery because of me. So, you know, I think men, as much as they do with the work that they do to provide for the family, yes, that needs to go appreciated. But honey, let's not skip on the thank yous and the appreciation for stay-at-home moms or just moms in general.
That part.
Has to sit up there yeah. and pick up the slack, even if they have to work and take care of the kids.
That part.
Yeah. Well, like, that's why it's called the second shift, right? The idea it is really that is. Men and women both go to work. You know, it's like you have a when in families where you have a two-income household, it's like, you know, mom and dad go to work in the mornings mm-hmm. and then they both work a full day and then they both come home. But when you come through the door, who is the one who is picking up the cooking, shoes and putting them on the cleaning. Shoe rack? Who's making, mm-hmm. who's deciding what there's going to be for dinner? Who's making dinner? Mm-hmm. Who's washing the dishes? Mm-hmm. You know, doing the laundry, bathing the kids. It's like,
hallelujah.
Too much of the time,
preach.
Men use that time, use their evenings for leisure time, and women use it for work. Mm-hmm. And it's
there's
like, well, no.
Toilets
like,
in this house, I clean them all. I have bathed every single child that lives in this residence, whether they were born of me or not, because, you know, that's just not happening with the other individual. I make most of the meals. I do most of the grocery shopping. I do most of the event planning. I do, you know, like I said, all the cleaning, you name it. Shopping for underwear, socks, clothes, shoes, most of that. Yeah. It's tough. And he's gotten better over the years, but it builds a deep resentment. And an emotional wall can be put up. And then you wonder why I'm mad at you.
Mm.
Like, because you're not helping.
Right.
And I ask for help all the time. And, well, maybe we'll just hire a cleaning person. I'm like, a cleaning person doesn't know where I want my forks.
Thank you.
A cleaning person's going to come in and they're going to do the vacuuming, sure. But they're not going to know where your shoes go.
Mm-hmm.
Your shoes. You know, it's tough. is really tough. And I don't think people understand when you become a mother, you sacrifice so much of your own body. Okay? Because I had this child in my body, my bladder doesn't always do what it should do. You know, mm-hmm. I've paid an extreme price for this. You did not. Mm-hmm. You just didn't. Mm. You didn't have any long-term, like, repercussions of having a baby. Like, you just didn't. I'm sorry. Yes, he had a vasectomy and he had it reversed. Okay. Everything still works and we're all good. You're out of the woods now. Here we are. My baby is 5. And I'm still, like, still struggling with the impact on my body in many ways. And I don't think there's enough appreciation or acknowledgement for that. And it's hard to parent my daughter with the love and empathy I want to show because it's also coupled with a deep bitterness and resentment that I have to be the only one to clean this house. That for some reason, right? And they follow suit with what they see. You know, if they don't see you cleaning, why would they do it? Mm-hmm. Oh, G's leaving. Good night.
See you next time.
Everyone knows how I feel about this subject. I could talk about motherhood for hours on end.
Literally.
Moms just don't get the credit that they deserve at all. And, you know, and then still have to have time to hit the gym, you know? And I was just talking to somebody in a car about it the other day, like my big mama, like I literally don't know how she did it. Cooking, cleaning, sewing, taking us to church every Sunday. I never saw that woman sit down. She would be cooking and cleaning from morning to night. And then it'd be about 5 o'clock and she'd come upstairs and make dinner. It didn't matter what time it was. Like, there were always biscuits there, you know. And it was a cast iron stove. She had well water. She had to pump. Like, she was always so active. And I don't remember anything about my grandfather. I remember a man sitting in a bed. I don't remember him contributing anything to the household. And it's just there. Women are superheroes. We do so much and we shouldn't have to. Nope. And I'm glad that the next generation of women are asking for more and they've seen through the bullshit. Like, and I'm so proud of them. And I tell my daughter the same thing. I'm like, you deserve more.
Yep.
And I do okay. You know, I'm not complaining. I got a brand new car, you know, and I tell myself that that's the price of having to do all this work. But it would be nice to have an equal partner. That would be so fucking cool.
Yeah.
That really would be. I joke a lot, but I want to know what that's like.
Well, and think about too, like if the people who were missing equal partners, if their partners stepped up, think about how much more that person carrying the domestic load could contribute to their partner's life, like in an intimate way.
Mm-hmm. Or like, just a relationship in general, yeah.
Well, exactly, yeah. Like paying attention to the other person's emotional needs and, you know, having fulfilling conversations and, you know, exploring new things, going on new adventures, like, you know, like it's like, you know, the price of a less active partner, like, you know, spending all their time on leisure rather than contributing, it also saps the person that they're taking from.
Yeah.
And it leaves less for that, like, you know, it's like everybody benefits when you have a truly equal partnership.
Yeah.
Because then you can truly enjoy, you know, having the attention and intimacy and connection with the other person because they're not drained from having to wash your dirty socks all day.
I know that's right. And that's why there'd be Amazon packages in here because somebody gonna pay for this. Somebody somewhere, I'm gonna get me a reparations package. I stay with that. Mm. I stay with a care package. Something's coming in the mail. Something's coming in the mail for me.
Mine's is always every week.
I gotta have a piece of something. If it ain't this, listen. So I get it in other ways. I get fulfillment in other ways. You know, and the way that our marriage is set up, I also have the opportunity to seek comfort elsewhere if I choose to do that. And I love that about us. And it works for us, you know. And for me, that supplement really helps. It's not always around or whatever, but it really does help, you know, because not everybody can be everything to everyone at every time. So, yeah, that has really improved our relationship for both of us. Because I'm not going to lick nobody's booty hole. So you need to go ask that girl to do it.
Right.
I'm dead ass right now. Like, I'm going to keep it a buck.
With these new generation doing everything up under the sun, honey.
Go ahead. Go ahead on.
Go ahead on. We sat up there and talked about that. We looked at each other like, hell no. Hell to the no. None of that.
My name's on the house, and I got a brand new car, and I didn't have to eat no ass to do it.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. You want to do it? You know, I have to stop teaching these kids that you have to do this to get that. When did that become a thing? Like, this whole dating mentality and all of that. Oh, my God. I was like...
Yeah, 50-50. I'm like, okay.
Child. I mean, I live, but there was a boundary. So I had a boundary. I was like, I was not your therapist. I ain't your girlfriend. You're there to provide a service. You can't provide thy service. You got to go. Get out. And I find someone else to provide thy service.
I'm done with you.
And that's what I did.
I know that's right.
I ain't had no feelings for none of them. He was not even a mere thought afterwards. I went ahead and did what I had to do and keep it moving. I didn't ask you for no Birkin bag. I ain't asked you for none of that. I guess in our generation, it was a Louis Vuitton and we called it a day, but I ain't want that either. I had to go to school the next day. Bye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting.
It's very interesting.
Dating now is very different. It's hard.
Yeah.
And what's left over is rough out there right now.
Oh my God.
It's all Virgo men and trash. Yeah. Which is basically the same thing.
I'm like,
it's rough.
It's slim rough pickings. It's real slim pickings out here.
I got lucky once. You know, I don't expect to get lucky again.
Me neither.
But you know what? It is what it is. I told Tom, I'm like, when you're gone, that's it.
That's it.
That's it for me. I'm going to enjoy my peace in this house. It doesn't mean that I'm, don't get it twisted. It does not mean I'm not going to have no fun. It just
there
means
you go.
I'm not living with somebody else again. I'm not picking up after anyone else. Like, you know, I do this because I love you. I love our family and you're the father of my children. Like, I'm not doing this for nobody else. It's exhausting.
It is.
No.
I said this.
I want my peace. I want my peace. I want my house. I want my incense burning. I want my Black Jesus sculpture. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I want in my home.
He always be asking me, like, what do you want? Because he's been asking me, like, what do I want to do for my birthday? I was like, I want a hotel room for the weekend for $300, please.
There you go. You better get it.
I don't want to be bothered.
Let me know when you're there. I will DoorDash you something. Listen, I will send you some sushi or something. Or give you $50 so you can go get a massage. You need to do that.
And I was like, it's my 40th. So I'm like,
I get one once a month. I get a massage. You need to go do that.
Lord.
I do that for me, and I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, because I haven't had a...
Part of my reparation package.
it's funny because I haven't had a pampered thing from, I think it was when I was 7 months with her. And after that, because I told him, I was like, I don't feel like going back over there because the lady, she, that was her last day that I was there. So my nail tech and she had left and I was like, damn, I ain't got nobody. And I need, you know, I want her because she was the best one out of all of them. So I'm like, 3 years later, that place is still going. It's still good, but I need to find me another one, you know, that, that can hold the same weight as she does. But yeah, it's like we used to massage. You can't, honey. Used to get the massage, used to do all of that, get the whole pampered and everything. But I don't know, you know, I'm just trying to figure it out. I'm like, child, I'm only going to turn 41. So what do I want to do?
Proud of you. Yeah. And 40 looks great, by the way. You look great.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's
Thank
what you. I'm talking about.
Hey, you know, the body ain't bodying like that no more because I feel every ache and pain. And I'm like, I don't know if I could do a pregnancy the second time, child.
Hell no. I'm done. I'm medically done.
We want to do go for a second one, but it's medical, you know, medical reasons and just the health of it, you know, the health of what my body will probably go through. And I'm like, if we're going to do it, we have to do it like sooner rather than later and, you know, get it done. But I'm like, child, even after giving birth to her, I was like, man, I ain't never felt all those aches and pains before.
Yeah, it was like getting hit by a truck.
Yeah.
I'm good. I'm so good on it. Like you literally, you know, I think about it like my body split DNA, like literally, like split myself in half to make this other person. And honestly, physically I can make it, but my soul can't split again. Mm-hmm. Like my soul has to remain intact. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I won't be mentally well again.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had a serious case of what I call postpartum depression. I don't know what other people call it, but I know that I was spiraling for about a good 3 years. Like I didn't feel like myself. I was constantly sad. And then on top of that, I got to cook. I got to clean. I got to do all this other stuff. And well, you're always miserable. Well, no shit.
That
interesting, but you know, it's always a sign of something else. Like, you know, nobody's like nasty on purpose. It's always a sign of something else.
It's always a reason. It's always a reason. It's always things that are like festering for years and years and years. I mean, don't know how long you and Tom been together, but for us it's 12 years.
It'll be 10 this year.
Okay. And it's a lot. Like, it's a lot.
It
you
is.
You are dealing with someone that you've actually had to build a foundation on. And then with everything going on, you know, with work and you know, whatever other stuff that you have going on, all of that.
Oh, yes.
Having to deal with it mentally.
Oh, yeah.
Is exhausting.
You telling me. You telling me. Like it's
not the
kids and work, but also like he might be dating marriage. Somebody. I might be dating somebody. Mm-hmm. I'm also making meetings. Like, come on, like it's everything. It's everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah,
it's a lot.
It is a lot.
It's been an hour. I'm gonna let y'all go.
Okay.
Time for me to get some sleep too.
Yeah, because it's y'all.
Okay. I'm gonna set up my work computer and do some work. Yay.
Okay. Well, enjoy that.
Enjoy.
Thanks so much.
Going to work tomorrow. I love you guys. I hope
I love you too. Thank you for having me.
Okay. Bye, baby. Where's the baby?
Bye, bye, sweetheart.
We love you.
Love you.
There it is.
I love you.
Love you too. Bye. That's adorable.